Okay, well, please, I got it almost in this mission. We finished yesterday, but the case of the lady who got totally messed up. She forgot what she gave the kohen. She forgot what she gave him. The kohen forgot what he did. Whatever it is, but you're talking about a woman who said, "Sheilei zocha harei alai kan." So really, she has to bring four birds. She has to bring a kan choyv, meaning a chatas and an oil. She has to bring two oilas as an adov. She should have brought four birds. And she brought four birds. But because she forgot what she did, she forgot what she said, she forgot what she did, the kohen forgot what he did. So to patch it up, at the end of the day, she had to bring seven extra birds. Four in adova, shtayim l'choyv, chatas achas. And according to Ben Azza, she had to bring eight. So just a mission. She just brings an interesting thing where also... You'll see when the animal was alive. Okay, we'll see. I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Zeu Shomu, this is similar. Kishuhu chai kol yechod. We're talking about an ayil, a ram, or some type of sheep. When he's alive, he has one call. He's made one call. He has one voice. Ukshu meis, when he messes up, so to speak, kol shiva, and then it becomes seven. Just like here, by messing up, she wound up at the end having to bring seven extra. Behemoth, Shavon Oifus, is so too similarly here. When the thing is alive and well, it's one. And when it dies, it becomes seven. What do we mean, seven koilos? You can make from its body seven types of musical instruments. Kate said, koilos shiva, how do you get seven? Bass kronov lishtei chatzaitzers. The two horns you can make into two chatzaitzers. Shtei shoykov from the two leg, thigh bones, lishnei chalilin, you can make two flutes, or whatever you call it. Oire, the skin of the animal, l'toif, can be made into a drum. Mayov, the insides, the stomach, the one of the intestines, l'nevolim, will be made into strings for a navel, it's a type of string instrument, I don't know what they call it in English. B'nei mayov l'kinoires, that's the smaller intestines, will be made into strings for a harp. So from one animal, which when it was alive, had one kol, can now, in a sense, be made to seven kolos. Two chatzaitzers, two chalilim, a drum, and these two types of string instruments. The yeshoimrim, aftzimro, from the tzemer, you can make trelis. Now, what does trelis have to do with kol? So they all explain, because from the trelis you can make the me'il. And the me'il has rimoinim and pamoinim on the bottom, and that makes noise. So they said the Tanakhama didn't count it because it's not the rimoinim that's making the noise, it's the pamoinim that's making the noise. And that's made out of zov, but some seem to learn that when the noise comes when the pamoin bangs against the rim and whatever, but it's involved in the noise, Tanakhama it's not. Others learned that the difference in Kama and the Yeshayimrim is the difference in Tanakhama and Ben Azai before. The Balamor, the Gro, they say that because according to Tanakhama, she had to bring seven birds. According to Ben Azai, she had to bring eight birds. So the first Bandhoven mission is going by Tanakhama, that one became seven. Now one becomes eight. Okay. So what's interesting here is that it says here, the Rishayimim, I'm stopping a little bit. It says here, you can make chatzaitzers out of the horns of an animal. Lamaisa in Chumash it says atzei lachoshtei chatzitzus kesef, and the Gemara Menachis says it has to be kesef. It can't even be other metals. And here it's saying you can make it out from the horns of what do you call it? So there are different ways here. Some say that there's two types of chatzitzus. They say the chatzitzus of the pasuk, and that's what the Gemara Menachis is talking about. That's the chatzitzus that the koyanim blew. That's the koyanim. Here we're talking about chatzoitzes that were used by the Levim in the music business. There were many, I forgot the Mishnah, you had 13, 15, 11 types of musical instruments they used. That's this chatzoitzes. That the Torah never said anything about. It's the koyanim says that has to be kesef. This could be whatever you want, basically. It's just a musical instrument. Or some say that this Mishnah doesn't really mean chatzoitzes, it doesn't mean shofars. It's a shofar of Rosh Hashanah, like we make from an aisle. Because there's a Gemara, remember, the Gemara in Shabbos somewhere, the Gemara in Shabbos says, and Sukkah, that after After the Chum, I think they switched the language. They started calling a Chatzaitzer Shofar and a Shofar Chatzaitzer. So Chatzaitzer in the Mishnah can refer to what we call a Shofar. The Rosh Hashanah thing is Shofar. That, of course, made me know from a Karen Hawaii. Okay, we finish now with the famous stickle. It's really a Braisa, they claim. It's not even part of the Mishnah. Reb Shimon ben Akashia, Imeh, Ziknei Am Ha'oretz, calls man shehei maskinim, the older they get, the worse it gets. Daiter mitarefes aleiv, they get fatumol, they lose it. Shenemar, meisis sofo lanemonim, v'tam skenim ikoch, he'll take away the language from those who knew, and he'll take out seichel from the old people. That's Ziknei Amoritz. Aval Ziknei Toira, ain't okay. Talmidei Chachomim, people have Toira, not that way. Elof hakeret, calls man shehei maskinim, the older they get, daiter misyasheves aleiv. Shenemar biyishishim chochmo v'yorich yomim tunas. But once one pasuk gave the other, most of them learned it. L'chur it's a steer in the psukim. I mean, the first pasuk says meisa sofal anemonim tamskenim ikoch, meaning that as you get older, you're going to lose it. The next pasuk says v'kei biyishishim chochmo v'yorich yomim tunas. That's how the Chazal understood. One is talking about ziknei amoretz, and one is talking about ziknei talmidei chacham. What in the world is this doing here? So can we just, don't forget, this, the Dafyam is a funny Seder, but Lamais in the Mishnayis, this is the end of the Seder Kodshim. This comes after Tomer Midas and Mishnayis. This is the end of Seder Kodshim. So often you have that they want to finish off with a nice thing, B'Yishishim Chochma. Also some say it's a similar idea to what we had. Just like the animal, in a way, when it dies, gets stronger. He only produced one sound. Here he can produce a seven. So to Tomer Chachom, and not when they die, but when they get older, they get stronger. It's not like, yeah, there you think the animal dies, that's the end of it. Fakert comes out producing more when she's dead than when she's alive. So to a Talmud Chacham, you think as he gets older, begin to lose it. No. Fakert, Sved Vishishim Choch. Hadron Allah Mamed Dvorim, Uslik Allah Masachas Kin. We would have gotten an easy day off, but the printer decided to make this Chof Hayom at Beis. What in the world they did over here. My Gemara's 5 pages later. It's a funny business, the printer here. Okay. Start off, say the Maseches Tom is enter Satna Maseches. The Rambam begins by saying, that there's no Yisav Heter in this Masechta. There's no something else. It's just a story. It's a sipur of what happened in Beis HaMikdash, because we have to know. You have to know what happened, especially the description of what happened in the Seder HaTomid, Now, of course, when the Ram says, for us, there's plenty here, because from the way they tell what happened, it's amazing, there are many, many things to learn. But that's how he puts it. And it goes very much together with Midas, and much of the first mission here came out the same thing as the first mission in Midas, because this will describe what they did in Beis HaMikdash. Now, describing what they did in Beis HaMikdash, this Beis HaMikdash will be described. It's layout, it's geography, because I'm going to say he did this, he went here. Midas is the other way. Midas is telling us the layout of the Beis HaMikdash. It'll be similar to Mishnah. They'll say they did this and this, they went from here to here. And the Midas is going to say, also, they went from here to here. There it's telling us where everything was. There it's telling us what they did, but there's a lot of overlap here. Okay. The Masechta starts. What interesting is an interesting mitzvah in Beis HaMikdash called Shmiras HaMikdash. We're going to learn that there are 24 people involved in Shmiras HaMikdash every day, every night. We'll see 3 Kohenim and 21 Levim. The Shomru. That's a chumash floating around somewhere. There's usually everything in the world on its table. But thank you very much. Thanks. It's this Psukim in Kari, but the Gemara learns it from Psukim in Bamidbar. Yeah, when it tells us where where the guys the Klal Yisrael had a camp was, and then it finishes off where Moshe Aaron and Bonov lived. And it says, "Achoinim lefnei Mishkan, Kedmol lefnei Oyel Moed, Mizrocha, Moshe Aaron and Bonov, Shomrim Mishmeres Amigdosh, LeMishmeres Bnei Yisrael." They were there, they were watching. It says three times, Shomrim Mishmeres LeMishmeres. I think we're going to learn from there that you need three Shmiras of Kayanim, and later we're going to have Psukim that you need another 21 of Leviim. They camped around it, and they were Shomrim. They didn't do anything. They were just watching. I mean, they would be up all night. They're just watching. And what in the world are we watching for? So the Rambam, they all explain. We shouldn't make a mistake. This was not a problem of Shmirah from Ganovim or that kind of thing. This is Gzeiras HaKosuv. This is special Gzeiras HaKosuv. L'kvod HaMishkan. Shmiras HaMikdash Mitzvah Saseh. V'af HaPi She'ein Shom Pachad Me'oyeh V'lo Me'listim. We're not talking in itself, but there's a problem here. She'ein Shmirosoy Elo Kovod Loi. It's a way the Torah has of showing kovod to the Mokim HaMikdash. This is the fact that a palace has guards around it, even though there's no danger necessarily. That itself is a way of showing kovod to the place. It's a different kovod when you got a doorman, you know what I mean? So under there, he's going with that building with a doorman, you know. But okay. That's the Rambam puts it. That's kovod for the Mokim HaMikdash. The Roshi puts it. V'gam kovod HaMikdash al yosichu daito mimenu. This way, there's never has chadas. There's always people constantly thinking about the Mokim HaMikdash. Okay. B'shloishim mekoymos hakoyanim shomrim beveis HaMikdash. As we said, there's going to be 24 places. We'll see. There's an overlap on it. But kipshuto, there are three places where there are koyanim, and there's 21 places where it's going to be the Leviim. That's what we're coming to tomorrow or the day after that. Three places the koyanim were shomrim beveis HaMikdash. Okay. Now, when were they shomrim? What does it mean? This is a big machloikis. Most people understand it was balayla. It was this whole din applied balayla. I mean, the people had to be up all night. Basically, that's what it meant. That stationed at these 24 spots, three of which we're going about right now, they had to be up all night, balayla. That's the Rambam says. The Rav, the Rabban in Chumash, that was an Isaac balayla. The Meforesh here was a big player. We don't know who he is. It looks to be a Talmud of Rashi. And the Rosh right here, say, if there's a Rosh there, it's a 24-hour a day job. Most people hold it's only a thing at night. Though it's bichlal not clear how they know that. Nobody knows exactly where does it say anything about night. But most people learn, it's just, that's how the Rambam puts it also. Shmira, this business, whatever this thing is called, Shmira is only by night. Basically, it means that we had a 24 designated people to stay up all night at these 24 designated positions. Shmira zumitz also called halayla. It's the Rambam, that's the Rav, Rambam, and Chumash and Bamid, what it says. But right here on the page, you got it says both. Okay. Where were the three spots? Beis Aftinas, if you remember from Yuma or from other places, Beis Aftinas was it's on the Dorim side of the Azora. It's on top of the Sharamayim. That's where the Kohen Gadol would go tefillah. And Yom Kippur, on top of that, not on top of it, under it actually, was the base of Tinas. Aftinas was the family that made the Ketoiris. That place, that office, whatever you call it, was called Beis Aftinas. It's on the southern side of the Azor. Beis HaNitzoitz, Beis HaMoiket. These are two things along the north wall of the Azor. Beis HaNitzoitz is a little bit further back, further west. Beis HaMoiket is a little bit... It's closer to the east. It's almost lined up with the Mizbeach over there. Not quite. We're going to learn about Beis HaMoike. It's an interesting place. Beis HaMoike means the place of the fireplace. There was a fire constantly going there. They took from there the fire for the Mizbeach. And also what Rashi in Shabbos explains, there was a place to warm up because the Kohenim were always getting cold. They were running around with no shoes and socks on a cold floor. So they were always cold. They used to come in there to warm up. There was a fire burning there all the time. Moikim, it's a fire. So that was called Beis HaMoikim. Beis HaNitzoitz is a little bit along the north wall, a little bit further west. And why it's called Beis HaNitzoitz is not 100% clear. The Meforish says, I don't know why it's called Beis HaNitzoitz. Some explain it's called Beis HaNitzoitz because, as we will see, it was built as an aksadra, meaning it was a three-walled thing, so you had a lot of sunlight coming in. Nitzoitz means that we use it to mean a spark. It can mean light, something like that. So many of them, the Rosh, they claim it means Nitzoitz, It's called Beis Hanitzis because there was a light over there. Okay. So these are the three places that there had to be a Kohen watching the Beis Hamikdash. Again, either means through the night, according to most people, according to the Reforesh, and to the Rosh, it means through the night and day, the 24-hour shifts had to run here. There always had to be a Kohen stationed. They weren't doing anything, just stationed there, watching the Beis Hamikdash. They were built with a second story. They weren't on the ground, in other words. After the Shah, you walked in, it was built like a similar platform, what we would call it. It was up off the ground. But this is a big question, why it has to be off the ground. We're going to learn tomorrow. We're going to learn tomorrow that this Gemara seems to learn from the Psukim. Like we said, the Shmira, there's three Kayanim and 21 Leviim. The Gemara is going to say that the Shmira of the Kayanim, in other words, the Shmira of the Leviim, they have to serve the Kayanim. I mean, the Gemara understands the Kayanim have to be higher up. So the three Kayanim who are watching have to be up. They have to be upraised. The 21 Leviim who are watching can be on the ground. That's how the Mephorish learns. Mela, the three spots that we have for the Shmiras HaKoyanim has to be an upraised place. That's why this had to be Aliyas. You didn't walk into the Beis Hanitzis and he stood on the floor, this Koyan. It was built up. There was some, like a second floor, if you want to look at it. That's a simple platform. And he was on that. Because it has to be by Aliyah. See it somewhere. Aliyah Shmiras Kotzorach Aliyas Mokum Govoa. Someone's going to learn that. Okay. So those two were built with an Aliyah second floor. Horoivim Shoimrim Shom. In those two spots, at least, we'll see in a minute, there were Roivim who did it. What does Roivim mean? Roivim is the Targum word for Yelid. Yelid is Maturgim Ravya. It means children. And what it means is young Koyanim. Now the question is, how young are they? That's a big problem over here. The Gemara is going to tell us later that these are Koyanim who did not yet reach the age of Avoida. And the Mefarish explains very well, because a Koyan who could do Avoida wouldn't want to do Shmira. I mean, it's a pretty dull job. It's nothing. You sit there doing nothing. So Koyanim who were eligible for the Avoida, Koyanim who were eligible for the Avoida wouldn't want to do Shmira. And number two, we don't want them to do Shmira. Why should we waste manpower on Shmira? If you have Koyanim who can do the Avoida, we'd rather have them do the Avoida. So we took for this, at least for this Shmira, Roivim. Koyanim who did not yet reach the age of Avoida. Now what that means is not 100% clear. The Mephorej, the Rav say it means they were Ketanim Posh. They're under Bar Mitzvah. Which has its problems. Many don't like that. I mean, how could somebody under Bar Mitzvah perform a job in the Beis Hamikdash? What's going on over here? As many learn, it means, because we learned in Chulin that even though technically, once a Kohen becomes 13 and he brings Cyrus, he can do the Avodah, but Lechatli, they didn't let them. In the Beis Hamikdash, they didn't let them do Avodah, practically speaking, until they were 20. So they learn when the Gemara says here, Roivin, Koyanim didn't yet reach the age of Avoida, it means Koyanim are under 20, but not under 13. Yizicha needs somebody who's a Bar Mitzvah. Okay, we'll come back to that. It's a very interesting question. How can a job in the Beis HaMikdash be performed by somebody who's not Bar Mitzvah? It's Sheish HaMaladabi here. Okay. So that's the Beis HaFtinas and the Beis HaNitzitz. Okay, wait one second. Beis HaMoiket, Kippur. Beis HaMoiket was a Kippur, means an archway. Not an arch, we call it a dome. Beis HaMoiket, you've seen the pictures. It's built like I have in the back there, I'm sure I have the pictures there. Beis HaMoiket was built with a dome. Now, again, what that means, not so clear either. Poshe, it means it was a regular thing, and the top was a dome. It looks like a dome structure. But the way we're learning with the Mefarish, the Shmira of the Kohenim has to be B'mokim Aliyah. So it doesn't really matter that the top was this way. It means that on top of that dome was built some sort of a platform, and that's where they walk. Because the Kohenim always have to be higher up. That's how he learns. On top of the dome was some sort of a, I don't know how they built it exactly, some sort of a porch on top of the dome, and that's where the Kohen sat. The Kohen who was the Shomer in Beis HaMoiket. The Beis HaMoiket, we have the pictures, the Beis HaMoiket was a big place, much bigger than the others. Yeah, you can see the pictures. This is the Beis HaMoiket. It was a bigger operation. This is your standard. This is probably the Beis HaNitzes. This is the Beis HaMoiket. It itself was divided up into four smaller lishkis. That's what I mean by his godl. It was much bigger than the others. Hoyamukov roivdin. It was surrounded. Roivdin means ledges. There were stone walls, but they were protruding. It was like you had ledges over there. Shelevin. Zikne Beis Av, the older Kayanim, Yeshenim Shom. They would sleep there. So this is not 100% clear. Some learn it means, you see, the Gemara is going to say it was a ledge going up to a ledge. So the simple strap means the first ledge was coming out of the wall on the bottom, and then a little higher was another ledge. They would step on the bottom ledge and go up. They would sleep on that top ledge. They show Yeshenim Shom on those Roivdim. Or some learned that this was a step up, and then there was a in the wall. It was like a hole in the wall, and they would sleep in that. Roivdim shalem zikne beis av yishenim shom umaftecha so azora biyodom. We're going to learn soon the keys to open up all the doors in the azora were in that room, in the middle of the Beis HaMoiket. We're going to learn that more immediately. The Beis HaMoiket was this big thing, and four corners, it had offices. In the middle somewhere, they were like tile floors, the Beis HaMoiket. There was one tile, Amalama, that was loose, and it had a ring on it. You could pick it up, and under it was suspended the keys to the Azorah. So it was like a tile with a ring on it, sitting on the floor. Under it was some sort of another small ring, and that was attached to the chain of keys. And when they needed it, we'll learn soon, that someone would pick up the tile and take the keys and then replace it. Then at the end, they might finish it, put it back and then replace it. It was right in the middle of the Beis HaMoiket. Mafteichos Azor Biyodom doesn't mean in their hands. It means Biyodom under their jurisdiction. Dizikne Beisav. So the older Kayanim, they got to sleep on these Roivdim, be it the ledges or like a dugout into the wall. Pirchei Kuhuna, younger Kohanim. Now, these Pirchei Kuhuna are older than the Roivdim. These are Kohanim who are already working. But the Pirchei Kuhuna, they're young. Pirchei usually comes because the beard is starting to sprout. So they're the young men. Ish Kistai Ba'aretz. The older Kohanim, we let them sleep. They got the right to sleep on these ledges. That was some sort of a bed. The younger fellas were more whatever. So they slept on the floor, Pashat Kistai Ba'aretz. He put his thing on the... As somebody, the fourth charge from saying, it's a pastish to ring around a bed into the Beis HaMikdash. So the older people, the senior Kohanim, if you want, were given the rights to sleep on these somewhat beds built into the walls. And the younger Kohanim, they slept on the floor. So they put their whatever on the ground and they slept on the floor. Now here, we have a little bit of confusion because it's not clear from the Mishnah. See, the Mishnah is describing us to three Kohanim are watching. One is in Beis Aftinas, one is in Beis HaNitzot, and one is in Beis HaMoiket. So the two who are in Beis HaMoiket and Beis HaNitzot, Beis Aftinas, we said those were Roivim. They were very young Kohanim. Who is the Shomrim in the Beis HaMoiket? It's not clear how you read the Mishnah. You could read the Mishnah that HaRoivim Shomrim Shom, meaning in Beis Aftinas and Beis HaNitzes, there were the Roivim. Here in Beis HaMoiket, the Shomrim were these guys, the Pirchei Kuhuna. You could read the Mishnah that way. The Rambam reads it that way. The Rav. Others read not that way. No. It was always the Roivim who were the Shomrim. And again, as the Mefarish explained, because we don't want to waste any Kohen who's eligible for Avodah, for Shmir. Shmir is a pretty simple, elementary type of thing to do. We wouldn't want to waste any manpower. So all Shmira, all three places, were done by Roivim. Again, Roivim means Kainim are so young that they're not yet eligible for Avoid. Pirchei Kuna is young Kainim, but young Kainim who are eligible for Avoid. So that's, it's not clear in the Mishnah. Who is the Shomer in the Beis HaMoiket? The Beis HaMoiket is described as having two types of Kainim. Zikne Beis Av and Pirchei Kuna. So the simple reading would say, who's the Shomer? Obviously, it means a Pirchei Kuna. I'm not going to give it to the older, to the head of the Beis Av. But the other way of reading is, no, we already said that the Roivim on the Shomer. So there's really three types of Kohenim in the Beis HaMoiket. There's the Zikne Beis Av who are sleeping in these dugouts or these ledges. There's the younger Kohenim who are also Balei Avoida. They're sleeping on the floor. And there's a Roiv there. There's one Roiv there who's the Shomer, who's Machal not sleeping. As we're going to learn, you're not allowed to sleep when you're supposed to be watching. Fakir Zagan's story we'll have later. That there was a Shamus who would go around and make sure everybody was up. And if you found the guy sleeping, he had Rishus to smack him over the head or burn his clothes. There's a ganze story soon. That they were caught sleeping on the job. Okay.
Kind of Bali Mumin would be a question for Shmira?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. I don't know. I don't know. It sounds like not, but I don't know. Yeah, they know some eligible for Avoda. I don't know. I'll check that. I don't know. Oh, Loihoyu Yeshenim. Now stop talking again. We definitely have Koyinim of Avoida here. We have Zikne Beis Av and we have Pirchei Kuna here. They're Avoida people. Lohoy Yishena BeBigde Kodesh. They didn't sleep in the Bigde Kuna. We'll learn, we'll talk about it later, because Shaloi B'Shas Avoida, you can't be Nenna from the Big Garden. So, Ella, how you poished in, they would take off their Bigde Kuna. What would it do to reading here? Poishton, umekapel, fold them up. Umanichen olson tachas rosheihem. As the Gemara explained, it doesn't mean under the heads, because again, then we'd be nene from the. Don't forget, the big dekun has kelayim, it's shatness. It's shatness. So putting under your head is also a problem. It means you put it next to your head. The Gemara's going to explain all that. Umiskasim b'ksus atzmon, and they put on their own pajamas. You don't sleep in big dekun, you take them off, you fold them up, put them down next to your head, and you put on your pajamas to go to sleep. Here you have a very interesting question here. Who are we talking about here? You know how the Beis HaMikdash works? There are different Mishmorim, right? 24 groups of Kohanim, right? So this week, Mishmor number Aleph works, correct? Every Mishmor was divided into six Batei Avos. That means a Beis Av worked one day. That means basically a Kohen worked one day. There's 24, it came two times. Basically, a Kohen worked one day, and then one day 6 months later, for the whole year. Except for Kohen Gadol, that's basically what he did. Okay? So, let's figure this out. We're talking who went to sleep here, that we have to tell you he shouldn't sleep in his big day kahuna. Obviously, he's wearing them already, and I'm telling you, take them off. Who are we talking about? Let's take Beis Av number one. Beis Av number one works on Sunday. Beis Av number two on Monday, correct? Three on Tuesday, good? So Sunday finished, now it's Sunday night. I'm giving directions how to go to sleep. Who am I talking to? Beis Av number one? Beis Av number one finished. They go home. What are they sleeping here for? They're going home. Beis Av number two is getting in an early sleep to be ready early in the morning. That's probably who we're talking about. But they didn't put on the big dekuna yet. I don't tell them to take them off. They didn't put them on yet. They put them on in the morning. If they go to the mikvah in the morning, they start the day's work. Who exactly are we talking about here? The guys who finish working, what are they sleeping in? Let them go home. The guys who are sleeping, if they get ready for early tomorrow morning, didn't put on the big dekuna yet.
Say that Sunday's people stay on the Sunday night.
But they don't.
Oh,
good. Good, hold one second. That could be. But you hit a problem. This is the problem they deal with. The guys that finished should have gone home. The guys that didn't start them for the big dekuna yet. So have different approaches. The rivet here on the side says, we're talking about Zikne Beis Av, meaning the guys who are heading into tomorrow's work. So what in the world are they doing? I would think they should put them on, have them on already when they're sleeping, so they should be ready in the morning to get ready, zoom into the arbit, the avoidu. It tells you in the Mishnah, yeah, you can't sleep with big dekuna. We're talking about tomorrow's guys. The Goyen has two ways. The Goyen says, either like you said, now you have to be careful, because generally speaking, everybody's work is done by Shkia. Generally speaking, the Kohenim are finished by Shkia. There's nothing left to do. Okay, good. So the Goyen, so get most of the Kohenim will leave by the Shkia. But those who are in charge of Hector, Chalom, what do you call it, Evor, that went through the night. Those guys can't leave it. They may take till 10, they may take till 11, I don't know. By Chatzitz, it's probably all over because Chatzitz is an equal. By Pash, it's over, but not necessarily. Those guys that we're talking about, they're not, we're not sending them home at midnight, you know. That we're not doing. They're sleeping over in the Beis Hamikdash. They just finished. It's 12 o'clock at night. They just finished with the Evorim, with the Ibot Zinoiris. They got the big Dekun on. They're going to sleep now Beis Hamikdash. We're not sending them home in the middle of the night. It says the thing, yeah, when you go to sleep, you got to take off your big Dekun. Or he says another, he found an interesting Yerushalmi. Hey, we're assuming here that there's six, which that says in many places, that there are six groups of Kayanim, six Boteyovas. We got the Rav in here, the famous Rav. The Rav says here there were seven Boteyovas. There's a Rav here and a Rashi somewhere, I forgot where, in Tainis. It's against the Gemara. Menachos says, but favorite, there were six. But it's a known Rav. The Rav here says it was split into seven groups. But let's drop that. Six groups. Sunday's group did Sunday's work with Gaman, and they went home. So the guy in the Yerushalmi says, that's only if you got enough manpower. In other words, I don't know how many kainim they needed per day. Let's say they need 20. I don't know. 13 in the morning, the 11 is on 25 kainim you need. So if my Mishra has 150 kainim, okay, I make six groups of 25. But what if I'm short? Places. People are sick. I don't know. This family is a little short. This guy became a balmum. I have only 100 kainim in my Mishra. So somebody's got to do double duty. The guy finds a Yerushalmi and it says there were Mishmaris where both the others had to do double duty. So that means you had a base off who worked Sunday and Monday. Okay, he says that's simple. That's what we're talking about. Since they worked Sunday and Monday, then when they finished Sunday, they went to sleep based on me. There's got to be the Monday morning. Those guys are wearing their big dekuna. That's what we're talking to. So again, in the Goyan is understanding what people have their clothes on. Either like you said, because they finished late at night, so they have to sleep over. Or in those cases where there weren't enough Kainim to make six groups, so people have to do double work, they have to sleep over. So you have people sleeping over, wearing big dekuna, finishing their work, but they still have to sleep over in Beis Hamikdash. Talk to Mishnah, you can't sleep with your big dekuna. The Rav is saying, he doesn't seem to have that, he's going the other way. We're talking about people who have not yet worked. But we would have said that they, if one could sleep in big dekuna, they would get on the big dekuna before they went to sleep, so that they would be ready right in the morning to get into their work. Talk to Mishnah, you can't do that, because you can't sleep in big dekuna. No, that's the problem. So who are we talking to? That is the problem. Gemara said that. Gemara says that's why he can't do it. So who are we talking to? Okay. Yeah, and just one other point. I mean, where are they sleeping in Beis Hamoiket? You're not allowed to sleep. You're not allowed to sit in the Azor. In Yeshiva, Azor Chutz L'Malchi Bezdovi. You're not allowed to sit. Forget about sleeping. The Beis Hamoiked, we're going to learn that more. The Beis Hamoiked, so it's a big place. It's built right on the border there. Half of it is outside the Azor. Half is in and half is out. So when we say sleeping, we're talking on the north side of it. Yeah, we got to get a diagram for next week and a half here, one of these pictures. I'm sure the new Gemaras have better pictures than I have. Beis Hamoiked is a recognizable place. Any picture, of course I can't find my picture now. Oh, you got it. There you go. Oh, that's the Beis Hamoiked. It's built along the north wall, and it's a very big class. Each of the four corners, you have what to do. You see, but there's a line running down. This is Azor. So there's a line running down here. The north side of this thing is outside the Azor. The south side is inside the Azor. There were little fishes in here. There was like a picket fence, very little sticks, running across over here to make sure nobody crossed the line. They know what you're doing. When we say sleeping, we're talking about sleeping over here. Nobody is sleeping over here. Now let's sit down over here. So therefore, also we have to say, what we said before, for your mukuf roivim, mukuf usually means surrounded. I mean, the picture you have, the old four walls have these legs. It's not true. It means this shape has ledges. Because you can't have ledges on this side because nobody's sitting there anymore. It means this area, from here, up, around, and down, they were right here because they can sit. One other point just that's good to know. Tell us a story. You pick up a lot of facts. There isn't much work to do. It's kind of picking up facts here. In the base Aftinas and the Sharanitzis, had anybody sit down there? I mean, this also could be, it's in the Zohar. It's not clear what's going on. Was it in, was it out? It's a big discussion over here. We're not sure. How did they sit over there? Okay, to see, assuming they stood up the whole night. Could be. Could be. Is out. Yeah, I'm saying there's a discussion. Beis Aftinas is a big mess. The rabbi here proves that Beis Aftinas is in. Yeah, that's it's clear. Oh, the Mefarish says though, the Mefarish is not clear. He says, this is a very important thing to know, whether, forget that, but even if it was in the Azora, this, again, let's go back to the Beis Hanitzis. It's like a second story. It's a ledge built on top. Now, it could have been sticking out this way. It could have been sticking out this way. Even if it's sticking out into the Azora, it's okay. Because that's a Gemara Psochem, it's a Mishnah. Gages va'aliyos lo neskachu. When we talk about Kedusha, that's on the floor of the Azora. As a matter of fact, there are those who say the Ravid, we'll come back to jumping ahead a little bit, but we said before that these two are aliyos. Why are they aliyos over there? So the Mepharis is because the Gemara says the Shmira of the Kayanim has to be higher up. So therefore, any place you have of Shmira's Kayanim has to be up. That's why they had to make aliyos there. But not everybody agrees. We'll see. Not every, the Ram doesn't have such halacha. So then why were those two aliyos? Says the Rav, you know why they were aliyos? Because they were on the ground. They wouldn't be able to sit down. You're in Dazor. They had to make up aliyos so they'd be able to sit down. They would have to have stand through the night. That's already a serious problem. You're not doing through the night. You're doing through the day and the night, according to many. Okay, whatever. Next. Okay, so they're in their pajamas. Next. Ira carry lechen godel. I'm sorry. I'm back in humor. Ira carry lechon mehen. One of them became Tomei. Yoitse, he's got to get out. Right? He's got to get to the mikveh. Yoitse, now what's the din of Al Kari? Let's keep it straight. And Dazor Zichakan and Zayn. But he can't even be in Harabayas. Al Kari can't be in Harabayas. So, what? We'll see Dabon, give me Harabayas. Shailam, the Gans Harabayas, we'll see. Yoitse, Vahoylechlo, he goes out, Bimisibo. In that Beis HaMoikid, there was an opening into the ground, and it took you into Mesiba. Today we say Mesiba is a party. That's what it means here. It either means a tunnel leading down into some sort of cavern downstairs where they had a mikveh, or it means a ramp. Mesiba can sometimes mean the same idea. You got to get from where you are underground. They had an underground mikveh here with a bathroom. We'll see. Either it's a tunnel, Mesiba called Mechilas. And again, Mechilas loy niskachu. So there's no problem with the Balkari being down there. Tunnels or underground caverns, anything under the ground. So it's either like a tunnel going down, or it's a ramp going down, or for those who are into interior decorating, it was a circular staircase. He seems to learn it's a circular staircase. Primitive one, looks like a wood like this, and stone stairs going around it. So we would call a circular staircase. You got to have whatever it is. You got to get from here downstairs into an underground thing. So either you did it with a tunnel, a ramp, or something like that. The neighbors Dolkin Mikana Mikan, they had a lighting system. Obviously, it was pitch black. You're talking underground. There's absolutely no light over there. So they had lanterns on each side accompanying the guy. You should be able to get down and by the mikveh there were lamps. That'll be something to light. They had a fire burning. It was cold down there. The famous Gemara, the Beis HaKisei Shel Kovod. There was a bathroom there. And Shel Kovod, why? Because they came up with the system that we all have with a locked door. So nobody got embarrassed. That was the Kovod of the Beis HaKisei. If the door was closed, you didn't go in. You knew somebody was there. It was open. You went in. It was the first discovery of that idea. But so you know, he saw the door locked. He wouldn't go in. Good. Yorad v'toval. Now, why was it important to tell us that there was a bathroom next to the mikveh? Again, if it was midas, it would be better. They're telling us the layout of the Beis HaMikdash. Here, they're not so much telling us the layout. They're telling us what the Kohanim did. Why is it so important that we have to know there's a bathroom over there? As many say, they bring from Achorim Demesis in the Rishonim, the Rosh, and the Ravi both say the same thing. The din is that if a Balkari goes Tvila and then he goes to the bathroom, he's Meirak Layim, he has to Tovel again. Because we're afraid that something, a Tipas Keri was left inside and it came out with the Meirak Layim. So any Balkari that goes to the mikveh has to be Moitzi Meirak Layim before he goes to the mikveh. That's why they had to have a bathroom there. Because he had to be mashed in before he went into the mikveh. It's the Ravid, the Rav Kegim Shneis, but it happens to be right here in the Ravid and in the Rosh. Yorad v'toval, it's always the expression, because the mikvayos were down. They were, this is really down, you're on the ground, but it's always a pit in the ground. That's how they made mikvayos. Yorad v'toval, all of in his stapek. He came up, he dried himself off. V'nischamem, it was cold, I imagine. Keneged ha-meduro. Then he goes back up. Bovi yoshav lo etzel echav ha-koyanim. We don't send them home in the middle of the night. Ad sheyushorim niftochim, until they opened up and learned the gates of the Azor in early morning. Yotzo v'hoylechloy. Then he goes home. So now the question is like this. After he goes to the mikvah, he's a tful yoim. So what's his status? He can't go into the Azor. But truth is, he can't. So you'll say he's in the outside of the Beis Hamoked. He doesn't go into the south half. He stays in the north half. But the problem is, the north half of the Beis Hamoked is also, it's also Harabayis, the Machna Leviyah. Tul Yom can't be there either. So how did he stay there through the night? So there we have two ways. Either the pshat is, like you said, Taisus says, that's the proof that the Iser of Tul Yom in Harabayis is only Midrabonon. So since it's only Midrabonon, we let him stay. What? Because the middle of the night, the Mefarish says. What? No, we don't want them walking home in the streets. I mean, it's not months, you know. It may not be such a safe neighborhood. I don't know. They don't want people walking home in the middle of the night. There were no lights in the street. It was dangerous to walk around at night. There were no lights. It was so simple to walk in the street in the middle of the night. There was absolutely no light, you know. They wouldn't be matriachim. Or some Tyson say because he became Tommy inside already. He didn't walk in Tommy, then he shouldn't have done it. This guy came in, everything's fine. He became Tomei, so a Mako. What? What? He didn't walk out in guns. Well, the other way to go is that the whole Issa Darbonon of Tful Yoim in Harabayis is not in the whole Harabayis. It's only in the Ezra Snoshim, says the Kula, a lot of them say. Only the Ezra Snoshim was where you walk in and out, where it's very busy. That's the only place they are. Logozo el alachil v'ezra snoshim, ushar eison hamishamish knisa v'yitziyah, lasos hachokul l'tmeyim. In the main entrance ways to the Azorah, we didn't want the Tul Yoim. But the other parts of the Azorah, we don't care. So get to that question is, so why are we sending him out in the morning? No, that's not called the chel, because it's not an entrance way. It's the way they understand it's because that's where traffic was. That's where people came in and out. If a Tul Yom will be there, he'll walk in. This is he's in a locked place. The question is then he's allowed to be there. So why are we sending him home early in the morning? Was let him stay there. So that because since he can't do the avoid, there's no need for him to be there. But the Mefarish has a tzad that we're afraid if he's sitting there with his great love for the avoid, he'll go do the avoid, and he's allowed to do the avoid. And we don't want somebody who can't do the avoid hanging around that close to the avoid. So make him go home in the middle of the night. We don't make him go home. There's no need for that. But in the morning, we send him home because he has nothing to do there. Or maybe we're even either stomach. We don't want a stomach do nothing in the Beis HaMikdash. Or if I care, we're afraid maybe if he'll hang around with nothing to do, he might just do an avoid. We don't want that. So we send him home in the morning. The Pashtis. No, if I care, then we send him home. Why not send him home? There's no problem. In the middle of the day, let him go to the mikvah and go home. It's because the thing happened at night. We don't want him necessarily going home at night. We don't want to be lo hitrichu lo lech lotz misham hovel lailo huachi yoyer hayoyim.